Benjamin is going to be bringing a talk to us today, a presentation, Estimates of Heritability and Genetic Gain for Seed Protein, Oil, and Yield in a Recombinant Inbred Line Soybean Population. Okay, Ben.
Thank you, Dr. Shannon. As mentioned, my name is Benjamin Wiggins. I'm a grad student in the Plant Science Department at the University of Tennessee at Knoxville, where I'm working under the guidance of Dr. Vince Penalone. Currently working towards a Master's of Science degree. Today, I'm here to talk about my graduate project, Estimates of Heritability and Genetic Gain for Seed Protein, Oil, and Yield in a Recombinant Inbred Line Soybean Population. First, let's start off with a few brief definitions. Heritability. Heritability is defined as the amount of phenotypic variation that can be explained by genetics. Genetic gain is defined as the amount of gain that can be attributed to that of a selection being placed upon a population. The reasons and a more general description of heritability and genetic gain. Heritability is basically how much variation is affected by the genetics. It's helpful to a breeder because it allows a breeder to calculate genetic effect. Genetic gain is the gain that is controlled by the genetics that is achieved after a selection. It allows a breeder to know how much improvement can be made or has been made. This diagram here shows genetic gain based upon a selection. Excuse me, Dr. Shannon, it's not bringing up the pointer here. Okay. Here we go. All right. The one to your left, shows just the population, and then the second mu shows the population after a selection. That mu there is the new population mean, and the difference between those two is the genetic gain for a population. For my study, calculating heritability, heritability was done on an entry mean basis. The variables were found using PROC Mixed and SAS. The formula here was used was created by Dr. Nyquist in 1991. The variables explained here are for the heritability is H denoted H squared. Theta squared G is the genetic variance. Theta squared GE is the genotype by environmental interaction variance. Theta squared is the error variance. R is the number of replications, and E is the number of environments. A brief population background. My population consists of a cross of 5601T by U99-310255. I have 239 recombinant inbred lines. Maturity ranging from a 3.8 with the U99 line to a 5.6 with the 5601T line. 5601T was chosen for its higher than average yield and protein values. It was also a check in the Southern Uniform Test. U99-310255 was chosen because it alone, again, was a Northern Uniform Test check, and it had high levels of protein, oil, and yield. In 2010, the research work that was done then, the plots were planted at 3.675 meters and end trimmed back to 3.5 meters. At the two locations, at two reps each, at both the East Tennessee Research Education Center, the Highland Rim Research Education Center, the East Tennessee, of course, in Knoxville, and Highland Rim in Springfield, Tennessee. We had a total of 488 plots at each location. We had the 239 entries, and then along with five checks at two reps each, total of 488 plots. The 2011 research, the plots were planted at 6.09 meters and then in trim backed to 5 meters. Three locations at three reps, Knoxville, Springfield, and Milan. For the population this year, we chose to go with upper and lower 5% tails from the 2010 data. Now, to elaborate on that, we've actually gone and actually grew out the entire population again, just because that's what we decided to do. But we've selected those tails in within that data to calculate genetic gain again and heritabilities again. And these pictures here, in the upper left-hand corner is the field layout from 2010. You can see the white flag stake in the middle. That's the width of our alleyways. I don't know if you can make it out in the back of the room, but on the left-hand side, you can see there's another set of alleyways there to your left. On the right, on the top right and the bottom left is a picture of myself and our research associate planting the plots. And in the lower right-hand corner, we have pictures of myself and another fellow grad student, Chris Smallwood, in trimming on my plots. Next, we'll talk about the seed yield, seed protein, and the oil content. For the yield, we used the harvest weights from the combine to calculate the yield. And for the seed protein and the oil content, we used a fall 6500 NIR using ISI scan 2.85.3. Here you have pictures in the top left, myself loading seed into the individual cups, pictured in the top right. In the lower left, you have a cup actually running through the NIR. And then in the bottom right, you have the ISI software reading in the protein and the oil content. Next, we have a frequency distribution of the seed yield in kilograms per hectare. We had a population mean of 1,960 kilograms per hectare and a range of 1,061 to 2,963 kilograms per hectare. Next, we have a frequency distribution for seed protein. The population mean was 439.3 grams per kilogram, with a range of 412 to 471 grams per kilogram. Next, we have a frequency distribution for seed oil with a population mean of 213 grams per kilogram and a range of 195 to 227 grams per kilogram. Next, we have our calculated heritability values and our correlation values. For protein, we had a 0.84. Oil, we had a 0.58. Yield, we had a 0.36. Our correlation values for yield and protein were a negative 0.37. Oil and yield, we had a 0.32. And then protein and oil, we had a negative 0.56 value. Those just show correlation effects between the two. Our next chart here, protein and oil, shows that, for example, if you were to select the upper 10% of protein, you would receive a new population mean of 460.5 grams per kilogram for protein, but you would see a decrease of oil content to 205.2 grams per kilogram. For protein versus yield, again, if you were to select the upper 10% for protein, you'd see remain a 460.5 grams per kilogram for protein, but you would see a decrease in yield to 1,688 kilograms per hectare for the seed yield. If you were selecting for the 10% of oil content, and this slide here shows oil versus yield, if you're selecting the upper 10% for oil, you would see 222.66 for the new population mean, but you would see a protein content of only 430. This slide next shows genetic gain for yield, just showing different selection intensities, showing that if you selected at, say, for here, for a 5% tail, you can see where your genetic gain would be a lot higher than if you selected, say, for a 20 or a 25% tail. Most breeders select between a 10 and a 20, usually staying between the 10 and 15% range. The next slide is for genetic gain for protein. Again, you see the same similar curve between the different selections between a 5 and a 25%. You can see that, again, your genetic gain for protein will be a lot higher if you selected for a 5% rather than for a 20 or a 25%. Genetic gain again here for oil. Again, it's the same same setup. You see a lot higher gain for a 5% than you do for a 25%. At this time, I'd like to thank my advisor, Dr. Vince Panalone, my committee members, Dr. Fred Allen, Dr. Dennis West. I'd also like to thank my fellow grass students that helped me through this project. And I'd also like to thank the Research and Education Centers where all of my plots have been planted. I'd also like to thank our granting agencies, the University of Tennessee Institute of Agriculture, the United Soybean Promotion Board, and the Tennessee Soybean Promotion Board. With that, I'd like to ask if there are any questions.
Questions for Ben? Any questions? Okay, Gary.
How did your parent values compare with your population values?
For yield, the U99 line was significantly different. Being there in Tennessee, that 3.8 just didn't really hold out for yield. 5601T was pretty standard in there with it. It was a check variety in there as well as a parent. For protein and oil, I don't remember the U99 line specifically, but the 5601T was in the top 15%, I do believe. Yes. Yep.
What generation did you make your selections?
The population from last year was at F6, so this year is a bit at F7. So we're just carrying that on. So.
Were these broad sense or narrow sense relays that you reported?
At this level of inbreeding, it all comes down to narrow sense.
Question.
Okay.
Want to have protein yield maintained at all? Were you able to get high yield from genotypes? What was your limit on protein we think would cover a good yielding genotype? There's a negative correlation.
Yes.
So about where were you that you could get something that was better than 5601T?
That data right off the top of my head, I'm not exactly sure of, but I know we had a few, I want to say there were about 15 or 16 levels that we were actually able to select that had a higher level for yield and than the 5601T. So, but I don't know those exact numbers off the top of my head. So.
Yep. Did you see any difference between the maturity group and the protein, the later?
Last year, in the 2010 research, it was set up in a completely randomized design because we didn't have maturity notes for the material at the time. This year, we're starting to harvest the maturity. We blocked it by maturity, and so this year we'll be able to see more of that than the effects that we probably had last year from it. So, but last year we had a large problem with the early maturing stuff, being able to harvest it on time, and we had a few problems with that. But other than that, the protein and the oil content seem to remain the same across. So.
Thank you.